A while to Colossians chapter 2. It'll take me a little bit to get there, as Pastor always says, but turn to Colossians chapter 2. I was meditating on what to speak on and thought I had it pretty much locked up. And then this morning, as I'm putting my PowerPoint together and kind of finishing doing the final touches, the Lord said, no, wait, save that for Sunday school. So I'll be doing that in Sunday school in a few weeks. Pastor asked me to do one of the Bible study Sunday schools. So I'm going to save that for that Sunday school. And this is something that the Lord's been dealing with me on in my own personal devotions and time with Him. And I thought it was a good thing for us to look at tonight. We're going to go over a lot of verses. I'm going to make comments as we go. This isn't my normal preaching or teaching style. It's going to be a lot of scripture tonight, but I think it will be beneficial to us. And we're going to talk about edification, building one another up. In the world, most of the time we are focused on tearing someone else down to get ahead. But as Christians, we're to build one another up and help one another succeed spiritually in the Christian life. And this involves several different aspects of life. And I want to bring out tonight, the very end, what does edification look like? Because so often we think edification is only telling each other the good things. Well, you're doing a great job, Terry. You're on fire. There's nothing wrong with you. But I think that edification actually encourages and builds up and strengthens when you point out faults, when you point out weaknesses. And there's certain ways you do that. You don't just say, now look, the laundry list on you is a mile long, so you might want to sit down and hold on because I'm about to unload both barrels. There's a way you do it. You do it in love. You do it gently. You do it in a good spirit, the right motives behind it. And we'll look at those tonight. Let's look to the Father in a word of prayer. Father, I come before you this evening in Jesus' name. You know, I'm for some reason just a little anxious tonight, feeling a little off. Maybe it's the tiredness of the day, whatever it is. I just pray that you would strengthen me. Go before me. Help me to not speak out of turn or say something that isn't biblical tonight. Help me to speak your truth in love. And may we all be able to glean something from Scripture tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first way I believe that you do this and really help one another in edification is by encouragement. And maybe I should pray again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says this, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We ought to be encouraging one another instead of waiting for others to fail. I don't think anything I say tonight is going to be a shock or surprise or something you haven't heard before. But it was all things that I needed reminded of, and I needed the Scriptures to remind me of. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through your deceitfulness of sin. The idea of exhorting one another today, one another daily while it is called today, and then look at the last part of the verse, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The exhorting there is to keep one another from sinning, for keep them from becoming deceived by their own sin that they were doing okay. I think that's one reason why there's several in here that have created an accountability partners and accountability groups so that you can have that exhortation, that encouragement day after day. Hey, how you doing, brother? Are you getting victory over that sin? That's part of edifying the body. That's part of exhorting one another, that encouragement to defeat sin. Hebrews 10 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Again, this passage is often preached about you need to be in church when the doors are open, but it really has more the idea of exhorting one another, encouraging one another, edifying one another, building one another up. we're kind of spread out tonight. I thought about getting everybody to sit in the middle so you could really exhort and encourage one another tonight. But I thought that I would get some pushback, and that probably wouldn't be very edifying, so I just decided to let it go. But I hope that you don't walk in these doors tonight, not talk to anybody, and walk back out. If you did, you missed the point of coming to church tonight. We need to be edifying one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another to continue serving the Lord, to continue a life that is free from sin, to continue to walk this Christian life step by step, to bear one another's burdens. Not just in prayer when we have prayer requests, and you say, oh, I'm glad I'll pray for Sister Susie this week. And then you don't even ask Sister Susie how she's doing. You pray, but you don't really care. That as Christians, as the body of Christ, it's good to put prayer behind it, but we've got to exhort one another. We've got to encourage one another. We've got to strengthen one another. Not just with prayer requests, but to help one another along with our sin lives. You know, we can't do this on our own. We understand we have to have the Holy Spirit's help. We have to have divine help to conquer sin and to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But we also need to, as brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage one another to have victory. When we know that there's a brother and sister that's in a sin, to come alongside and encourage them. Hey, I know you've been struggling with this. How you doing? That accountability is key for so many people to have victory over sin. Our goal in edification is not nosiness. Our goal in edification is not gossip. Our goal in edification is not to get the latest juice on the fellow church member. Our goal for edification is spiritual fulfillment or fullness. Spiritual fulfillment. Fullness. This is where I had you go to Colossians chapter 2. If you're still there, Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, they've not seen Paul, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Where I want you to focus on there is verses 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are all the hid treasures of wisdom. The idea there is they were knit together in love. They had a strong bond in Christ, which gave them a strong bond as a church. And as that bond grew, as they were knit together in love, and knit together because of their common ground in Christ, that increased their knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. They were able to iron sharpen iron, if you will, and maybe as one got a truth, they shared it with another, and this other one got a truth, and they shared it, and that knit them together in love, and they were able to increase in their understanding. The pastoral goal is laid out in Ephesians chapter 4, and I think this is where the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me the most lately. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As a pastor, I have a duty to try to unify us in faith. And this role is really mainly Pastor Schweitzer's. He's the one preaching and teaching, and that's he's giving the leadership from the Bible and unifying us in the faith. It's important for us to have strong biblical doctrine, not Pastor Schweitzer's doctrine, but biblical doctrine. And when that doctrine is correct, when it's biblical, when it's right, it gives us a unity of the faith. We'll look at a passage later where it talks about one coming with this doctrine and that doctrine, one coming with this tongue or that tongue, and there was no unity. There was just confusion. That unity of the faith, that unity in doctrine, it binds us together. But not only that, it gives us a unity in the knowledge of His Son. No one should be more knowledgeable of the Son than another. You can be just as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, than I am. We all have the written Word of God. And as we gain that knowledge, and as maybe you come along a brother and sister in Christ that's a little younger in the faith, or they haven't developed enough as much spiritually, maybe they've been a Christian for 30 years, but they're spiritually immature. And you come alongside that brother or sister, and you can encourage them in the knowledge of the Son. You know, there's times that the Lord has really opened my eyes to things. And when you grasp, so for me, it was the sovereignty of God. When I really fully was able to grasp the sovereignty of God, the worries, the cares, the fretting, I didn't have to deal with that as much anymore. When I knew that God knew about the problem before I did, He had the solution already well in hand, and I could trust Him. Whew, that was a weight off my shoulders. I used to be a worrier. I used to worry about every little thing. But knowing that He knows the end from the beginning, and that He has my best interest in mind, I can trust Him. Oh, that's a weight off my shoulders. It took me a while to grasp that, and it's not easy. Trust me, tonight I don't expect you to fully be able to grasp what I just said and be, oh great, now I can just, all my worries will just fly away too. It takes time. But building one another up in that faith, giving each other, when we find a truth like, hey, I want to share this with you, this is great. It's part of building the body up, edifying one another, bring us all into completeness and maturity. That's the goal of the pastor, is to present the saints whole, complete, mature. It's a special responsibility to give them pastors here in Ephesians. But it is also, we are also, the whole body is instructed to edify. We've started there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. It's not just the pastor's responsibility to edify one another. It's your responsibility to edify one another as well. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouths. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. I find myself putting my foot in my mouth over and over and over again. If you know me very long, you've known me to have put my foot in my mouth. There's been times where I've had to come and go to people and say, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking before I spoke. Please forgive me. I wasn't thinking. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. We have to make sure that we don't let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We have to make sure that we're not tearing down brothers and sisters in Christ in a way that doesn't edify. This is something I've struggled with for years. That, you know, it's so easy to get behind closed doors, maybe with a wife or maybe with family or maybe with close friends, and just tear one another down. I don't understand those people. They just blah blah blah. This is so easy. We're that's our sin nature. We're naturally gifted in corrupt communication. Are we not? Natural. Don't have to teach kids to do it either. I'm sure the day will come where Aaliyah will come home and start talking about one of the kids in the class, and I didn't teach her that. I didn't have to. Natural. Comes naturally. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Hey, next time, I failed in this morning even. And I think that's why the Lord really wanted to deal with my heart and have me teach this tonight. Next time you want to tear somebody down, next time your flesh wants to just tear somebody down, resolve in your heart to figure out a way to edify them. Resolve in your heart, figure out a way to encourage them to fix whatever that is bugging you. Number one, you should make sure that whatever's bugging you is biblical. Make sure it's not just a you problem. Make sure it's a God problem, right? It's okay to bother us, but if it doesn't bother God, it shouldn't bother us. It's another message. But if we've figured out that it is biblical, whatever they're doing is biblically wrong, instead of that corrupt communication, instead of gossiping about it, instead of tearing someone down to someone else about it, we ought to figure out a way to encourage them to do right, to do better. Have you ever thought of doing this differently? Have you ever thought of maybe choosing this path? Have you ever thought of maybe doing this way? Only for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, how many of you needed grace? Everybody's hand should be up. How many of you needed grace today? Yeah, me too. That's what we need to do, show each other grace. Not let that corrupt communication come out. Again, I failed in this today, but that it may minister grace unto the hearers, to whom much is given, much is required. Our worship should be about building one another up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." This is that idea of their worship was confusing. Everybody had a psalm or had a doctrine or had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. Let all things to be done unto edifying. It was chaotic. Our worship should be about building one another up, about pointing our worship to God and not to ourselves. Edification is not all talk either. Loving one another is also in view here. If you struggle with edification, you probably struggle with loving one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, "Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." I venture to say the immediate context here probably has something to do with meat sacrificed to idols. I didn't look it up, but it probably has something to do with that. And I think it's probably has the idea of Paul said this, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient." Just because you know that something is okay to do, it doesn't make it okay to do. Right? And I think that's what Paul's getting at here in 1 Corinthians. "Now is the thing offered to touching idols." We know that we all have the knowledge. Okay, you understand that it's okay to do. But knowledge puffeth up. Don't use that knowledge to think that you're better than the other person. Love edifieth. Charity edifieth. Share that knowledge. But don't allow that knowledge to puff you up. Share it in love so that they can know also. We ought to help one another, especially the weaker. Romans chapter 15 says this, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." We help the weaker brother. Help the weaker sister. Encourage, edify, strengthen in the Lord. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. This is one that I studied today, and these truths really just started to jump off the page at me. Often in Romans 12, we stop reading after the first several verses. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I love preaching through that passage. But you know, Paul didn't stop there. He goes on there to admonish these Romans. We'll pick up in verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation." Anybody know what that big word dissimulation means? Hypocrisy. "Let your love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned. Be loving one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Whew, I'm convicted already. How about you? Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and not curse, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do you know what that means? This is the SUV, Seth Urey version. Don't worry about hanging around with the popular people. Associate yourself with the meek and humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I used to say, saith Seth Urey. I'm biblical as all get out. Therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This passage really hit me right between the eyes. You have a series of just one right after the other, after the other, after the other, that Paul is giving to this church in Rome. And it is just jam-packed full of commands that if we would just obey, wouldn't life be so much easier? Wouldn't the Christian life just be so much easier? Wouldn't church politics just be so much easier? If we would just esteem others more highly than we esteem ourselves. Who is my enemy? This is a question that was asked to me a couple weeks ago and took me till today to finally think that I could articulate it well enough to speak about. No one. No one. No one should be your enemy. Joe Biden's not your enemy. He's not. Any person that you can think of that you would say is your enemy, biblically, I should say, should not be your enemy. We're instructed here to, if your enemy hungers, feed him. We shouldn't consider anyone the enemy. The enemy, the definition of enemy, is an adversary or foe. One who dislikes or hates another to seek harm to that person. Does that sound like something a Christian should have, an enemy? Should we be seeking harm for someone else? Should an enemy be someone that we go to church with? Should we have enemies at church? God forbid, right? But sometimes we do. Sometimes we have people we dislike. I don't know that we'd say that we want the harm to come to them. But maybe we would say this. If they don't come to church here anymore, that's okay with me. Whew. God forbid, right? And yet it happens. As Christians, we ought not to have an enemy. Sometimes refers to an individual opponent or to a hostile force, either a nation or army. That's the technical definition of an enemy. The natural inclination of all people is to hate their enemy. Some have even misconstrued God's law to teach that hatred. Jesus taught rather to love one's enemies and to seek their good. Matthew 5:43-47 says this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, I got to thinking about this, and Bud Light made that. I didn't even follow it that much, but they put a transgender's face on a can of beer, and now there's people all over the country boycotting Anheuser-Busch. I think they should boycott it for other reasons. But anyways, so they're, you know, Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, I think, lost billions of dollars within the first few days. Stocks just plummeted. They're grasping at straws trying to save the company, right? You know what? As Christians, we ought not to get involved in the transgender hate speech. Can I get an amen? We ought not get involved in that. Because they're not the enemy. Who's the enemy? The world, the flesh, my flesh. Yeah, my flesh is my enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Not transgenders. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. We ought not get involved in that kind of hate speech. May it never be said that Christians of this church or any church get involved in a hate speech. We ought to witness to them. We ought to show them the love of Christ. There's too often, and I'm not going to try not to get on a soapbox here. I should be done. Too often, we push people away by not showing Christian love. I'm not saying get all lovey-dovey and we all sit in a circle and sing kumbaya. But if Christ's love was manifest on you through the death of His Son on the cross of Calvary, I am just as much of a wicked sinner as any transgender person there ever was. Because the foot of the cross is level. We're all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I don't know why I got on that soapbox, but we have got to extend love not just to one another, but to those that Christ would like to see come to Him. And so often we get in the way because no one's going to them. No one's reaching to them. I have no idea what that has to do with edification, but apparently the Lord wanted it said. What does building up one another look like? I told you we were going to get there. Is building one another up is edification, telling each other what we want to hear. Is it? I don't think so. I don't think it's biblical. I don't think edification is telling you what you want to hear. Is edification letting each other make their own mistakes? I don't think so. I think if you see a brother in a fault, what does the Bible say? Come on. If you are spiritual, restore them. Edify him. Pick him up. Strengthen him. Help him see his fault. Help him see his wrong. I think that's edification there. I think it's encouraging one another in our faith. I think it's encouragement has part of it. But if you're encouraging and telling a lie by encouraging, you're not doing any favors to that person you're trying to edify. Encourage one another up. Build one another up in the faith. Don't puff each other up. Don't put each other on these pedestals that are flimsy and faulty. When you build a wall, okay, not everybody in here is a builder, but I'm sure that I can, if I can understand this illustration, everybody can. You build a wall. If you build a straight wall, and say we have bricks. I thought about bringing Leah's Lego blocks tonight, but I didn't. And I took those Lego blocks. Everybody knows what a Lego block is, right? All right, okay, good. All right, kids. So, take those Lego blocks. What do? You usually interlock them, right? Take a little bit of this block, a little bit of this block. You overlap them, and you do that. Just keep going. You build that wall. That's a strong wall. But if you take those Lego blocks and you just build a tower here, and you 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 don't do anything to tie them together, is that a very strong wall? No. They fall down all the time. That was the easy way to get them to fall down, right? That's false building one another up. But if we take the time, and this takes a little more time, to build those building blocks and interlock them and build them and interlock them, and we create a strong wall, then that's a strong building. And now we just didn't build each other up quickly and flimsy, and really that's not going to be any kind of lasting edification. But we take some time and we invest in one another. We encourage one another. You care about your fellow brother and sister in Christ, then edification has really done its work. First, edification is about encouragement. I see edification is about loving one another. And lastly, I see edification is the goal, or edification is about helping each other reach the goal. And that is increasing our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for allowing us to meet together tonight. Again, I felt sporadic and scatterbrained. I pray that something I said would resonate tonight. I know that you've dealt with me on this, and maybe that's why I'm just so scatterbrained, because there's so many things that you've dealt with me on this about. And I just pray that you would continue to allow us the opportunity and the privilege to edify one another. Thank you for this body that you have joined together, as imperfect and as quirky as we are. It's such a great privilege to be called the body of Christ here in this place. Help us to edify one another and encourage one another, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.